If your worship leaders have been preaching from the gospel texts set by the lectionary, then you might notice we're now into our third week of Jesus speaking of himself as bread. From the feeding of the 5,000 to memories of manna in the desert, it's been bread, bread, and more bread. This week, Jesus' words on being bread take a weird and uncomfortable turn as he begins to speak about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. In some ways, those words sound familiar, don't they? It's a concept we encounter when we share communion, so it's not entirely new to us. Even so, I find this passage difficult. For me, as a vegan, eating flesh and drinking blood is a horrible idea. It would have been just as offensive to Jesus's first audience, those of his own faith, as Jewish kosher law forbids the consumption of blood. And I think all of us would agree the idea of cannibalism, consuming human flesh and blood, is repugnant. I don't really know why John's Jesus labours this point, why he conjures such a grisly and disturbing image. One of the commentators I read calls this passage scandalously carnal. It certainly seems designed to shock and provoke. I do know that in John's gospel, there is usually more going on than the obvious and literal. There are layers of meaning and mystery to explore. One is the idea of Jesus as wisdom. Earlier we heard that little extract from the Hebrew scriptures, from the book of Proverbs, where wisdom is personified as a woman. A bit earlier in Proverbs, in chapter 8, we have the voice of wisdom saying that she was present and involved at the very beginning of time, when the earth was being created. John draws on this imagery when he writes that poetic opening to his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him. John seems to be connecting the character of woman wisdom in Proverbs with the person of Jesus, in whom the Word became flesh. Like the character of woman wisdom, the Jesus of John chapter 6 is generous, offering food and drink to all who wish to partake of it. Wisdom has prepared a rich feast with all the finest ingredients, and her invitation is open to all. Jesus goes a step further, holding nothing back, offering up his own flesh and blood, the whole of himself, to bring life to the world. I still don't claim to understand Jesus's words, but seen in this broader context, I can hear themes of wisdom and life as gifts, freely given and available to all. I can hear challenge and choice around what we consume. That comes up in our Ephesians passage as well. And there's something here about the mystery and scandal of the incarnation, of God becoming flesh and living among us, of God giving God's self to us, holding nothing back. This is some heavy-duty theology, the kind that gives me a headache. So let's move on now to the ordinary, earthy, and practical matter of what these passages might have to say to us, here and now. The writer to the Ephesians says, "Be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, because the days are evil." Strong words. We don't have to look very far to see evidence of their enduring truth. We absolutely need to be careful and wise in these current days of misinformation. These past few weeks, we have seen evil days filled with violence, escalating tensions in the Middle East, ongoing brutality in Myanmar and Sudan, huge numbers of babies and children being killed in Gaza. Closer to home, we've seen an explosion in knife crime, violence against women and girls, racism, rioting, and hostility towards migrants and refugees. Humanity at its ugliest. We've seen glimpses of humanity at its best as well, like the good people of Brighton and Hove reportedly sending a welcome party of drag queens and a samba band to meet right-wing protesters arriving to incite hatred in their city. In many ways, I'm heartened and relieved by the counter-movement we've seen and the swift quashing of unrest. But there is a danger here, I feel, that none of that vitriol has gone away. It's just been pushed back underground into the shadows. And there has been a nasty, classist edge to some of the condemnation of the rioters. We should condemn racism, absolutely. But we should recognize that the people being locked up for it are also some of the least privileged in our society. While the politicians and the billionaire media moguls who fueled this fire face no such consequences. What might wisdom look like in the context of these challenges? I have a couple of suggestions drawn from the scripture readings we've heard today. One has to do with being wise about what we consume, what we take into our bodies. There's that expression, we are what we eat. But I'm thinking here not just about the moral and ecological impact of our food choices, but also what we take on board in terms of news and views and information. A fast food diet of social media scrolling can be bad for our health. The writer of Ephesians warns against drunkenness. But alcohol is not the only thing that dulls our senses and increases our propensity to do and say stupid things we might later regret. I hope I'm not sounding pious here. I'll put my hands up. I'm quite partial to wine and Facebook. I'm just saying to myself as much as anyone, be careful. Be careful. My other suggestion this morning is about wisdom's generosity, abundance, and openness. I don't want to oversimplify the complex problems of the world, but I do believe that an economy of scarcity is a corrosive contributing factor. The idea that if someone else gets something, including basic human rights, then I must be getting less. An economy of scarcity dominates the narrative of our politics. Whether it's decisions about benefits or immigration or funding for public services, compassion comes up against responsible fiscal choices. After years of austerity, the message has become ingrained. There is not enough. And the fear that the idea of scarcity engenders is fuel for division and hatred. This morning's Bible readings do not paint a picture of scarcity. They offer a glimpse of a different kind of economy, an economy of abundance. Woman wisdom has laid a lavish feast and everyone is invited. The writer to the Ephesians describes a joyful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, having fed the crowds with basketfuls of crumbs to spare, offers himself as heavenly food, withholding nothing. In the bounty of creation and in the mystery of the incarnation, God has given us enough, more than enough. The problem is not actual scarcity. The problems are greed, inequality, apathy, violence, and fear. The antidotes are sharing, openness, generosity, a shared flesh and blood humanity that shakes the foundations of injustice. Wisdom is different from knowledge. It's different from IQ. It's not shrewdness or cleverness or getting ahead. Wisdom knows that there is so much we don't know. Wisdom admits that we might be wrong. Wisdom meets difference with curiosity rather than fear. Some of you have told me that what drew you to Wheatley United Reformed Church is that it's a spacious sanctuary for those who are inquiring and exploring and don't have the details of their faith fully worked out and carved in stone. It's one of the things that I treasure about Wheatley United Reformed Church as well. In the Message version of our Proverbs passage, Woman Wisdom issues an invitation that I just love. Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Come with me. Oh, come have dinner with me. Sign me up. Who else here is confused about life? You are welcome here. May we be open. May we be welcoming. May we be careful. Careful with the planet. Careful with one another. Careful what we consume. May we give and love generously, holding nothing back. May we be wise. Amen.